what other contingencies and alternatives are open to us. Because I think that we're likely to wind up 70-30%, I'd guess, that this fellow Bosch can't deliver, or we can't agree to what he does deliver. I think it's more likely he can't deliver. If they got any communist infiltration at all, they're not going to let him sell them out for Puerto Rico.
I'm not even sure of his good faith, Mr. President. We can't even be sure about that.
Well, I think that's right. So it then comes whether we just sit there and endure and let them kill a marine or two a day, let the people starve, or how we try to starve them out.
And we lose the countryside if we do that.
What do we do in the countryside? Maybe we can go feed them and keep them quiet and starve the others out. We ought to do anything that we can that has any imagination to it besides just shooting the cannon. We always say, well, we can take them over and it'll cost us something, but then we'll have it. But I don't know about that. And anyway, I want you to think about it. Now, number two.
May I express one opinion I expressed this morning over at Bundy's staff meeting at 10 o'clock. If you look at that perimeter, it seems to me the key area for us, and the one essential to the tenability of our position there, is to take over the northern part of the city. That's everything north of the perimeter. That would take over the radio station, the radio towers, would take over the main factory districts. They have some strong points in there, but the message we have this morning is that only about a fourth of their force, I think they said a fourth, is in that area. Now that would open up the city to the country, and we could probably get OES cover for that, or we might try to get it. And I asked this morning, we asked yesterday really for a contingency plan on moving north, and we have one, but it's too limited in my opinion. Maybe we were too limited in our ideas. I think we've got to spread out over take that whole northern half of the city, still keeping a ring around the main rebel stronghold, which is center south and between the safety zone and the river and our perimeter. Now, if you do that, then I think we'd be in a position, both propaganda-wise and food-wise, maybe we could get Wesson's troops to move out into the country and make sure that we can hold there and get food and so forth. Begin to organize the economy, hopefully get people back to work. The thing that's really wrong with our position is the deteriorating economic situation, aside from the shooting. And the longer these people go without work and money and food, I think the more unmanageable it's going to be. And I don't think there's anything short that we've been able to think of over here of actually taking over that part that will strengthen our position there.
Well, let's get two or three contingencies, because it's going to blow up this morning. We're going to have to decide, and we don't want to, in history's view, we don't want to look at it. We just sit here and fiddle and get every authority and every expert and every crackpot that you can. If you know of anybody that has anything of value to offer, you might pull Martin back in here, or you might talk to old man Burley, you might even let any of your boys that have contact, so we can try to keep a little unity here at home. You might have Vaughn or any of them that got any contacts to get the Schlesingers or any of the propagandists, get their ideas. And then we ought to have two or three alternatives to choose from and to analyze, and then we ought to move. We oughtn't have to move like we did before in emergency, or like we almost had to on the radio station yesterday with Palmer's wire. Yet I'm convinced we're going to have to move. Now, I called you primarily, though, this just, I thought I ought to put that in the record while I could. I called you primarily to find out. I noticed that Bunker and Vaughn were kind of complimented, and they cut at you and me. Do you think that this is some boy at OAS that's doing that according to that note, or do you think it couldn't be either Vaughn or Bunker, could it?
No. No, I'm absolutely certain of that.
The heroes of these stories are usually the leaks.
Yeah, they're just trying to hit it at you and me, I think. And they're using this to make it appear they're reasonable. I have no doubt at all about Vaughn Arbuckle.
All right, who do you think put this out?
Well, I think it's the usual crowd, and...
Somebody said that this blind letter to you was somebody over at OAS.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you believe that or suspect it or what?
Yes, I would. I can't prove it, but I believe it.
What makes you think? Is there any facts in there that indicate that he might be the source?
Well, the references in the past and in other pieces have talked about high officials. He was Deputy Assistant Secretary over here in ARA. And old Latin American hands and things of that kind. He was here for about 2 years, and he's from Puerto Rico. He belongs to that Puerto Rican crowd, sort of the fuzzy-minded part of it. And everything fits. That's all I can really say for certain.
What's his name?
Morales Carrion. Arturo, I think, is his first name. Arturo Morales, M-O-R-A-L-E-S, Carrion.
Arturo.
R-I-O-N, I think it is.
How you spell it? C-A-R?
R, C-A-R-R-I-O-N.
And what does he know about this, that he would be talking?
Well, he's over there hanging around the OAS and all the meetings going on and so forth. He has good relationships with his messengers and that crowd. I think he's just part of it. I don't say he's the only one, but I would say that some of these references seem to fit him. I just don't believe, none of us over here believe there's any high official in ARA, in Jack Vaughn's shop, that would be putting this stuff out.
Watch him now. Is Jack talking to any of these liberals? Shouldn't he be?
Well, I can get him cranked up on that.
I think we ought to start going to giving him the background, very much like the things this morning in the reports. It's been 3 weeks now. We've tried diligently. That when the president made his decision to notify the troops to go in, they were shooting in the hotel where our people were,
yeah.
And the ambassador is having his wonder light shot out in his office, telling the girls to get out of the way. The president told the troops to go in to save lives. He didn't have anything, didn't mention communists. He said, go in and save lives. He also told them to immediately notify the OAS ambassadors and immediately notify the Congress to get them together. And that was done that day, and we demanded a meeting that night, that very night. In the meantime, we talked to them 2 or 3 days, and they'd done nothing. Let me get this clear in my mind. Was it Wednesday morning the Peace Committee met and talked till noon?
I don't have my chronology.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I think that was on a Tuesday. I think the council, there were two meetings before we landed. One was the Inter-American Peace Committee.
Is that a part of the OAS?
Yes, that's a part of the OAS.
All right, then the next thing, what was the next one?
The next thing was a regular council of the OAS meeting in which the Dominican ambassador presented the situation to the council.
Yeah, and they didn't do anything.
They took note of it, and I think they actually sent a request to Nuncio to bring about. Here, I've got it, ceasefire. Now, I'm skipping all of the conversations with ambassadors. You've got all this over there, but
yeah.
Let's see now, on April the 27th. Because we had a lot of those conversations with the Chileans, with the Brazilians, with... at 11 a.m. on the 27th. Let me look at my calendar. On a Tuesday. Vaughn and Uruguay's ambassador, Uribe, had a talk, and Vaughn encouraged Uribe.
Yeah, I've got all that. I know that. All I want to know is the peace thing Tuesday. The peace committee was Tuesday morning or afternoon.
Inter-American Peace Committee meets 4 p.m. Tuesday, April 27th. They met on the 27th. They took no decision except to keep themselves informed. Then the next morning at 10:30, that's Wednesday the 28th,
yeah.
It was a regular meeting of the council.
Yeah.
and Ambassador Bonilla reported on what was going on and charged that the Castro communist elements were involved in it.
Yeah.
And then on the next day, Thursday, the 29th, we called a special meeting which took place then.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got all that. That's all I need. Much better.
All right, sir.
Now you get these alternatives. Get you some new people in here. Reach out. Bring Covey Oliver. Bring anybody that you think can think of any alternative, because this one's going to be a long Cuba, and we've got to find some way to squeeze them off, to pull them out, to infiltrate them, to outthink them. And we just got to have some alternatives. Think of every good mind that you know in this field, and then put airplanes out and bring them in here, and then let's spend a weekend working on it.
Well, I thought we could get anybody from the outside.
Well, we got to get somebody. We got to think every way we can. So, you just
call a few people like Dean Acheson and Adolf Burley.
Yeah.
And see what ideas they have.
I would sure.
Staff here to develop some more alternatives.
All right. Okay.
All right.